And of course, it's time now for the sunny side of sports with Sunny Young. Hello, Sunny.
Hello, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have lots and lots of Africa football news for us this evening.
Lots on the plate this evening, Kim. Joining us once again on The Voice of America from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening from Washington, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, African football fans looking forward to another big weekend of qualifying matches for next year's African Nations Cup tournament in Morocco. Can you run down the fixtures for us?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. On Saturday, we've got 5 matches, and on Sunday, we've got 2. Let's look at those Saturday matches first. In Blantyre, it's Malawi against Benin. Now, Benin are leading 1-0 from the first leg, a goal from Sessegnon. No surprise about that scorer. He's got 4 of the 5 goals Benin have scored in this competition so far, and he is clearly the danger man. He plays for West Bromwich Albion in the English Premier League. In Victoria, it's the Seychelles against Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone leading 2-0 from the first leg. Now, Sonny, as lopsided fixtures go, it's hard to beat this one. If we look at Sierra Leone's world ranking, it's 64, and the Seychelles 182. And I swear by my mathematics on this one, that is a difference of 118 places. So I think I'm not being particularly brave when I say that Sierra Leone must be favorites to advance from this tie. In Kigali, we've got Rwanda against Congo Brazzaville. Congo Brazzaville 2-0 up from the first leg. Now, what Rwanda's coach, Stephen Constantine, will be hoping for is a repeat of the previous round when, at home, Rwanda shattered the hopes of Libya with a very impressive 3-0 victory off a hat-trick from Bo Weary. The Rwandans, if they can win this return match by 3 goals, will advance into the group stage of the competition where South Africa, Nigeria, and Sudan would await them. In Bissau, it's Guinea-Bissau against Botswana, and Botswana are yet another team with a 2-0 lead. However, the Botswana preparations were thrown into jeopardy almost earlier this week when they discovered we have a trip to West Africa, but we have no money for the flights. And the Botswana government, to their credit, came in as last-minute providers of the cash. So I can confirm that that match is definitely going to go ahead. And this is an intriguing one, Sonny. Botswana made it difficult for the Guinea-Bissau team ahead of the first match. For whatever reason, 6 of the Guinea-Bissau players were not permitted entry into Botswana. The claim was there were visa problems. And as soon as the final whistle went in the first leg, the Guinea-Bissau officials and the coach said, "Watch out, Botswana, in the return match." And, Sonny, that's the way it works quite often in African football. People have got good, long memories. And I've got a strong suspicion that in this return match that Botswana are not going to get any particular favours when they arrive in Guinea-Bissau. So although the Botswana team have got a 2-goal lead, I think this is one where things could end up maybe going in the direction of Guinea-Bissau. In Nouakchott, Uganda take a 2-0 lead against Mauritania, and that should be enough to see them through. Uganda, of course, as we've mentioned several times now on the sunny side of sport, I suspect our Ugandan listeners are getting tired of me coming up with this statistic, but the last time the Ugandan Cranes competed at the Africa Cup of Nations was way back in 1978. That's an awful long time ago. I promise I won't mention that statistic, Sonny, for at least another week. On to Sunday, 2 interesting matches now. You'll notice from my first leg scores that the home teams are all winning and they're not conceding any goals. But there was one exception to that, and that was the match between Tanzania and Mozambique in Dar es Salaam. That finished 2-2, which means that Mozambique, in 5 matches against Tanzania, have never lost in the Africa Cup of Nations. And obviously, as a result of that, Sonny, the Mozambican Mambas, as they're known, which translated means the snakes, they must be favourites for the return match, remembering that either 0-0 or 1-1 would give the tie to the Mozambicans on away goals. A 2-2 tie would mean a penalty shootout and a higher draw, in other words, 3-3 or 4-4, and the Tanzanians would go through. An interesting aside to this match is that Mart Noy, the Dutch coach of Tanzania, coached Moltenbeek for 4 years, and he's still very confident. He told the Sunnyside of Sport that this battle is far from over, that he's got great confidence in his side. They scored 2 goals away to Zimbabwe in the previous round. So all in all, Sonny, a really interesting battle looming in 4 of the 5 previous matches between these two countries in the Cup of Nations. They have ended in draws, so I think it's going to be pretty tight. But nevertheless, Mozambique must start as slight favourites. And then another humdinger in prospect in Nairobi in Kenya, between Kenya and Lesotho. The Lesotho Crocodiles, as they're known, leading 1-0 from the first leg. Now, Kenya, it's back to 2004 when they last competed at the Cup of Nations. So they're another East African team, very keen to get back into the mainstream of African football. And an interesting statistic, Sonny, about Lesotho. They have lost their last 11 away matches in the Cup of Nations. And even more worrying for the Crocodiles is that in 10 of those 11 defeats, they failed to score. And in the other one, they only scored 1 goal. And that's a shambolic away record. 11 defeats in a row and 1 goal scored. And on that basis alone, Kenya must have a good chance of scraping through. Voice of America! A reminder, Sonny, to all Voice of America listeners that these are the final qualifying fixtures for the group stage. So after these 7 matches this weekend, 5 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday, we will then have 28 survivors, and they'll be split into 7 groups of 4. The draw's already been made, and obviously on the forthcoming Sunnyside of Sport, we will give that full draw again. And of those groups, Sonny, the top 2 sides, the team finishing first and second, they automatically go to the finals in Morocco, who also qualify automatically. And that would leave us with just 1 place. And that place will go to the best 3rd-place team among the 7 groups. So exciting times. The matches themselves, we have 2 in September, 2 rounds in October, and another 2 rounds in November. Also in November will be the draw for the finals. And then the tournament itself, the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations, starts in mid-January and ends in early February.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. In more African football news, Ivory Coast has hired Frenchman Herve Renard as its head coach. The 45-year-old Renard led Zambia to the 2012 Africa Cup of Nations title in Gabon. Ironically, he now is in charge of the team he defeated in the Nations Cup final in Libreville. In a dramatic penalty kick shootout, the Chipolopolo of Zambia edged the Elephants of Ivory Coast 8-7 in the 2012 Nations Cup final after the teams played to a scoreless draw after 120 minutes of football. Renard replaces another Frenchman, Sabri Lamouchi, who left after Ivory Coast was eliminated in the group stage at the recent World Cup in Brazil. Renard returns to international coaching after a 9-month stint with the French club Sochaux. He also coached Angola briefly in 2010. During his playing career, which lasted from 1983 to 1998, Renard was a defender for 3 French clubs. Herve Renard is now charged with leading Ivory Coast to a berth at next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. Ivory Coast won its only Nations Cup title in 1992 when the competition was hosted by Senegal. The Nigeria Football Federation is reportedly close to a new contract agreement with Stephen Keshi to return as head coach of the national team, the Super Eagles. Keshi led the Super Eagles to the round of 16 at the recent World Cup in Brazil, the first African coach to take a team to that stage at football's premier event. Reports from Nigeria say there are still a few details to be ironed out in a new contract, but Keshi would receive a raise of more than $12,000 US dollars a month to more than $43,000 a month. During Keshi's first contract, he complained of not being paid by the Federation for long periods of time. And I know our friend in Lagos, Segun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, is closely following the Keshi story.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled 8 World Cups, and I write about a new book by George Vesey, longtime sports columnist for the New York Times newspaper. In the book, the 75-year-old Vesey reflects on some of his experiences covering the 8 World Cup football tournaments before Brazil 2014. One of the funnier chapters is titled Marking Maradona, and George reminisces about trying to track down the great Argentine footballer for an interview. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side.